give me one shot here on a blue chip stock, believe me, Kevin, the only problem you're gonna have is that you didn't buy more. Nobody knows if the stock is gonna go up, down, sideways, or in circles.
What's going on, NBA draft fans? Your boys are back. The Wolves of Ball Street. Your favorite draft analyst. Your boys from the Draft Deck. NBA Draft Podcast. My name is Corey Talba, and I am here, as always, with my co-host, Albert Garbage Time Gim. Albert, what's cracking, dude?
What's going on, Corey? It's an incredible time to be alive. College basketball is back. The NBA is in full swing. All kinds of good stuff's happening. So everything's good. I'm ready to rock.
That's right. Both our teams are incredibly mediocre. better than, I guess, I don't know, maybe it's not better than being terrible considering this is a draft show and we're about to cover a generational draft. This is the Draft Act podcast, folks. So what we are doing here today is we are going to do our first draft stock update. These are the IPOs for the top 40 prospects in the 2023 NBA draft class, at least during the preseason before things really get into full swing. This list, if you're watching this live on YouTube, the list will be published at 9 a.m. Eastern time on Wednesday at NoCeilingsNBA.com. And if you are listening to this on any of your podcast feeds, it's already out. So just head to NoCeilingsNBA.com, subscribe, it's free, and you can check out the rankings. So this ranking that we're about to go over, this is not Albert and I's personal feelings on where these draft prospects should be ranked. It's not No Ceilings as a collective personal feelings on how these draft prospects should be ranked. What the draft stock market IPO is for these prospects is we took a look at some of the biggest boards. And if you're a fan of the Draft Act show, you'll know that we go through on a weekly basis, prospect by prospect, their draft stock on each outlet. But we took a look at ESPN, SB Nation, Sports Illustrated, our No Ceilings board included, The Athletic, Tankathon, Basketball News. And we put together an average for the top 40 prospects to get a better overall feel for where exactly these prospects' stock really is heading into this 2023 NBA draft cycle. And that way, as the process moves along, we can actually track, where they started, how they are rising or how they're falling, where their stock ends up from, the beginning to the end, and actually take a big picture look at this process and maybe see if we can learn anything from it. Why prospects at the beginning of the year were ranked where they were versus towards the end of the year. So this list is going to look a hell of a lot different come, June, but that's what we do here. We follow, we track it. So if you're looking to get in on some of these prospects early, today's the day. Now is where their official stock price is going to be set. I'm ready. Albert, are you ready to do this?
I'm super ready to do this, and I'm excited to hear your thoughts, Corey, because this is going to be the first episode that we're doing where we're going to get pretty expansive and cover a lot of different guys. And I'm really curious to hear your opinions on some of these guys because, it's fun. We usually do one dude, and that's all we talk about. And today we'll probably talk about like 40 of them. So I'm excited.
Yeah, it's it's going to be an interesting show. I already disagree with some of the rankings right off the bat. So why are we procrastinating? Let's just start breaking this shit down. Let's go by fives. The stock price for, the top 40 guys, five by five by five by five by five. And we can have a little conversation, about all of these guys in chunks. So the draft price for one and two should not be shocking. They were both unanimous. Victor Wembanyama was the number one prospect at every major outlet. Scoot Henderson was the number two prospect on every major outlet. So I don't foresee a circumstance that changes.
Right.
So where this thing really is going to start this year is at number three. the number three ranked prospect, according to the draft act, is Amen Thompson. He had an average stock price of 4, averaging out all of the major outlets. Nick Smith is the fourth ranked prospect with a price of 4.6. And Cam Whitmore is the fifth ranked prospect with a price of 5.7. So we have Victor Wembanyama at 1, Scoot at 2, Amen at 3, Nick Smith at 4, Cam Whitmore at 5. What are your thoughts, Albert?
Well, at the top, 1 and 2, pretty easy. Not going to get anything from me, anything different from me, is what I should say. Amen Thompson, at this point,
where is he on your board?
Oh, boy. Here we go.
On your personal board.
Amen Thompson currently on my personal board is number 13. So that's a pretty wide gap from where he is here and where I have him. And you know, Corey, as you know, I haven't been his biggest fan, but at the same time, I am in a place where because of you and because of how you helped me open my eyes this weekend to his brother's game and the advancements that he's making, I find myself in a place, Corey, where I want to be more open. And yeah, just readily open to absorb new things is where I find myself. So Amen Thompson being at number 3 for me still at this point is a little bit high. Nick Smith and Cam Whitmore at 4 or 5. I don't hate on my personal boards. I think I have Cam Whitmore at 4 and Nick Smith at 6, if I'm not wrong. I might be dead wrong, actually. But I apologize. I actually have Nick Smith at 8 and Cam Whitmore at 6. So they're a little bit lower than I thought they were. But I like both guys. Oh, I mean, we did Cam Whitmore. You did Nick Smith already. But overall, I like this top 5. I don't hate it. No big gripes from me other than Amen Thompson. But once again, I do want to mention I am in a place where I'm more open to Amen Thompson now than maybe I was like a week ago. Oh, Corey, I can't hear you.
At No Ceilings, we are the clear outlet that is a little bit lower on Amen versus the rest of the media. We had him collectively at 8. He is 9 on my personal board. I think I'm very skeptical right now about where he is as a shooter. You know, I went and saw him live in Atlanta at the Overtime Elite Pro Day, and I do like a lot of things about the rest of his game, but I don't so much feel that he's at, you know, the place right now that I can confidently put him in that top 3 category right now, even top 5, just because I think as much as he brings to the table, you need to be able to put pressure on defenses as a shooter. Whether it's even in the mid-range, like I don't even need him to be a 3-point shooter right now. I just need him to be able to come off a screen and confidently pull up in that mid-range just to give, you know, a different look. He's not going to have a problem getting into the teeth of the defense. He's not going to have, you know, a problem making plays for teammates. Those are two things I'm confident that he will excel at the next level. I think he's going to be a good defender. It would not shock me if by the end of the cycle, I'm a little bit higher on Amen than where I'm starting. Mm-hmm. I'm willing to be open to that as well. But I agree. For me, he is kind of the guy that I struggle with the most out of this first 5. Nick Smith, I have at 6 on my personal board, and Cam, I have at 7 on my personal board. And I think there are paths for both of those guys to end up as top 5 guys. You know, I think with Nick Smith, it's probably a little bit more of an uphill battle. Just he's really got to go ham as a scorer, showing his efficiency for me, proving that he can get all the way to the cup and finish through traffic and not just rely on his floater, draw free throws. Because I think if you're going to be one of these 6'4", 6'5 guards, that's kind of like a scorer first. And yes, he could play make a little bit, but I don't think he has enough of the playmaking chops to be a primary lead initiator at the next level. He's got to show me that he can actually pressure the rim and be efficient near the hoop because, Jalen Green, you know, he's a couple of years in and he's still up and down. Anthony Edwards, he's in year 3 now. And while he's shown some superstar stuff, it's not like the Timberwolves are, you know, this powerhouse team that you would have thought they might be, given what they gave up for Rudy Gobert and where they thought they were as a franchise. So Nick Smith, I think, has a lot to prove as a scorer for me, but he is a deadly shooter and he's got a great handle and there's a lot to like about his game. So I feel comfortable starting him at number six. And then Cam, he's really just got to prove to me that he could shoot it and bring it consistently on the defensive end from an effort perspective. Now he, like Nick Smith, are starting the year off injured. So, you know, we're unfortunately not getting a look at them right now, but Cam has all the tools you want from a top five guy, right? 6'7", smooth, great footwork, power wing, athletic, you know, like the shooting I'm a little skeptical about, even though he lit the net on fire during the FIBA tournament. But I think there's enough there for him to, you know, still, you have to respect it. He'll knock it down if you give him an open shot. I don't think he's Isaac Okoro. So I don't have a problem with him at five, but he's just outside of that for me, just because, you know, I need to see him shoot it.
Yeah, no, I mean, when we did the Cam Whitmore pod, that was one of our big areas of, I wouldn't say concern necessarily, but, you know, it's an area of growth for him that we want to monitor. And if he can do that when he gets back, that'll be really fun to watch. And Corey, the stuff that you were saying about Nick Smith, I did want to kind of echo what you were saying, because I'm there with you, you know, considering he doesn't have like great size, you know, he is a little bit on the smaller end. What do we call them nowadays? Like medium-ish guards, right? Like a CJ McCollum, Bradley Beal, yeah. 6'4"-ish guy. And those guys have become quite strong. And, you know, not that they're like power guards or anything like that, but there is the desire and the inclination for them to go all the way to the rim. And as you mentioned, right, draw fouls and, you know, be able to play and score through contact. So I think if Nick Smith can show even a little bit of that this season in his freshman year, then obviously his outlook starts to look a little bit different. So I just wanted to echo everything that you're saying, agree with all of that. And I think it's interesting that both of us feel the way that we feel about Amen, but as you said, things can be very different by the time we get to the draft. So I'm with
you. Yeah. And I think where we differ the most is that, at least for me, Asar has leapfrogged him on my personal board. And, you know, I dropped my personal top 30 in a video on the NBA Draft Dude YouTube channel. And that's kind of been the thing the most that I think has shocked people in my top 10 is that Asar is ahead of Amen. It's not even necessarily where Amen is listed. It's that I feel more strongly about Asar, right, who is in that next group. So at number six, Dariq Whitehead had an average price of 7, but he is the 6th ranked prospect. Asar Thompson is the 7th ranked prospect with an average price of 7.4. Keontae George, the 8th ranked prospect with an average price of 9.3. Dylan Mitchell, the 9th ranked prospect with an average price of 10.3. And Jairus Walker, the 10th ranked prospect with an average price of 11.4. So what is the thing that stands out the most to you? Cause I feel like there's a lot happening in this next five that we just listed. Mm-hmm.
I feel like this second five, Corey, is the most volatile five. And I think there's a real situation where by the time we get to the draft that all five of these guys may either be way higher or way lower. And there's a real possibility here. I like all of these guys. Dariq Whitehead is a guy that I actually had pretty high on my board. I believe I had Whitehead at 7, right? Asar Thompson was, I believe, 19th on my board. But Corey, where I am now after this weekend, because you've been talking our ears off in our group chat about Asar. And so I decided, hey, I don't want to be the old guy who said in my way. So I went back into the tape and I started watching him. And Corey, you're right, dude. The shooting has really come a long way. And I'm not going to say he's a sniper yet, but just the fact that he is moving in a positive trajectory in terms of his shooting makes everything that much more dynamic and awesome. So I don't know where Asar is going to be in my next big board, but he's definitely going to be moving up a lot. Is the first thing I'll say, and then we can kind of follow up after that. But Asar Thompson being at number 7 is probably closer. I think that's where you have him at 7. Is that correct?
I think I have him at 8.
Okay.
I have Cam at 7. I have Asar at 8. I have Dariq at 10, which I feel like I'm a little bit lower on Derek than other people. And it's not even that I'm lower on him. I have some concerns about, sometimes I feel like he's a little sped up. And I feel like he has to settle for tough shots. Now he is an unbelievable tough shot maker, but I feel like the separation, he struggles creating separation, and he could force some pretty ugly, you know, attempts every now and then, but there's some really high upside. I think I saw somebody compare his upside to like a Seattle Ray Allen, which, wow. You know, I'm not quite there, cause I don't think he's the same level of shooter, even though I do think he could potentially be the best shooter in this class, which, you know, to have a guy who can make shots off the bounce, maybe the best shooter in the class, to have him ranked at 10. That's why this is a preseason ranking and not my final ranking. But he does have some intriguing upside. He's athletic, strong. I could see him. I think did we have him go 3 or 4 in the no ceilings mock draft? You know, he's going to make a lot of sense on a lot of teams just because of the fact that he can play on or off the ball. But I have him reversed in that group where I have him at 10. Jairus Walker, obviously at 10. I mean, if you listen to the Draft Act episode we did on him, we are obsessed with him. I think at No Ceilings, we're pretty obsessed with him. We have kind of had this Jairus Walker train rolling early on as far as hype goes. He's my third-ranked prospect. I believe he's your third-ranked prospect. So there's obviously, for me, that feels a bit off. And I just, like, The Athletic had him at 18, Basketball News at 15, ESPN has him at 14. So it just feels like he's one of these guys to me that's just going to have this crazy rise when it feels obvious just based on the direction of the league and how strong and athletic and how toolsy he is, how versatile. But the guy, and you know, it's fun. Let's talk about Keyonte George quickly, who's the 8th ranked guy on the list. You know, I was talking about Nick Smith being this medium-sized guard that you coined, and Keyonte George is kind of right there with him, and yet he's my 4th ranked prospect. Probably showed less playmaking chops in high school, although he looked good as a playmaker in that first game against, you know, whoever the fuck state that they Baylor smacked by like 100.
That's a great name for school.
Whoever the fuck state.
Whoever the fuck state. I love it.
Maybe that should be a piece of No Ceilings merch at some point. Whoever the fuck state university.
Starting point guard, whoever the fuck state.
his playmaking looked good against whoever the fuck state. And I think that he's the most complete scorer. The difference and the reason I'm a little bit higher on him versus Nick Smith is I trust Keyonte George to be able to score at all three levels right now a little bit more. I have more faith in him getting to the rim. And there's something about him, and I think Nick Smith has a good frame. You know, he's got those like big broad shoulders, but he is, you know, a little slight right now, where Keyonte George is one of those bulldog frames that I love. You know, he's got that like Davion Mitchell kind of like girth to his frame. And I think, you know, as he continues to get in better shape, you know, it's, I think when you are going to be one of those medium sized guards, having that kind of body type is what helps you defensively. And, you know, he had a really nice flash at the point of attack defensively. I think I'm a little bit higher on his defense versus some of the other guys at No Ceilings in particular. I just saw a lot of like really encouraging on ball possessions during watching the high school tape. But I think that, for me, I think he's going to be a riser because I think he's going to get a ton of buckets. And if that playmaking is anywhere close to what it looked like during that game against whoever the fuck state, we got ourselves a potential, you know, top 3 to 5 guy. The volatility that you speak of, to me, is represented here with Dylan Mitchell, the number 9th ranked prospect, who has a 10.3 average stock price. He has a high, Sports Illustrated has him at 5, and a low, SB Nation had him at 18. So you see where that stock range on these outlets to give him this ranking. You know, I really like Dylan Mitchell, and yet I need to see it first. Like, Dylan Mitchell is one of these guys that is a little Kendall Brownish, but I like him a lot more than I liked Kendall Brown. I think he brings better effort, better energy. I think he's got a better frame. He's just as athletic. Mm-hmm. So I could definitely see him being a guy who's going to be in this lottery conversation, but 9 feels a little bit high just because we don't have any evidence that he could shoot it. Now, I think on this podcast, we are, or at least have proven a little bit, that we're not so concerned with makes and misses and percentages. Yeah. As long as the shot looks good and looks like it could be something that is workable going forward with NBA training, I think we're okay with it. But, and I do think that his shot looks okay when he shoots free throws. He's, you know, he very rarely shoots like mid-range shots or threes, but when he does, they look okay. Is he going to be willing to shoot it?
Yeah.
Can he just go, all right, I'm going to let this thing fly? Because it looks okay to me, to the fact where I just like, let's see it, man. Like, you're going to be really efficient around the hoop. You're going to be a guy who gets a lot of efficient opportunities in transition as a rim runner. I think that, you know, at Mount Verde, sometimes he was an interesting role man. You know, he reminds me of a guy like Derek Jones Jr. in Chicago, who I think in the NBA with certain lineups is going to be able to play some center and be really versatile as a defender, probably defend, you know, 1 through 4 pretty comfortably with while switching on 5s occasionally, especially as he bulks up a little bit as he gets older. But I got to see him shoot it before I feel comfortable taking him in the top 10, because you got to be able to space the floor a little bit. And we've seen shooting growth, you know, pretty regularly happen at the NBA level with guys who have workable form. He has that, but how good is your workable form if you don't have the confidence to shoot it in the first place?
I swear I thought you were just talking about Amen Thompson. So, but no, Corey, I'm with you, dude. Because for me, I mean, we texted about this too. I think we were both pretty alarmed by how high Dylan Mitchell was. I think, looking at it right now on my personal board, I have him 17th actually. And that's not me like hating on Dylan Mitchell. I'm actually right there with you, Corey. I think he's going to be a very good player. I love the size and the length on the guy. I really love the energy that he plays with. I don't know if it's because he's a lefty that I'm like more inclined to believe in the jump shot. And that's like a real thing, I think, for me, that sometimes like I just look at lefties and I'm like, oh, you're going to figure it out because you use the right side of your brain, which makes no sense. But with Mitchell, though, like I'm right there with you. There are some real flashes when you played for Montford last year. Just the above the rim stuff was really, really fun with him. I think he's going to do enough. I think the shooting will come, and I want to see it. And I really do hope, Corey, as you said, I hope he has the desire to take them, because if he just takes them, even if he shoots 28% this season in college from 3, if he just puts them up and it looks decent, I think people will be believers. And then who knows, like he shoots them all season and he gets into a gym right after the season ends. And then he's doing workouts for teams and he goes to some team and he shoots like 15 for 20 from 3. And then, you know, you'll hear rumors all around the league that the kid can shoot now. So
yeah,
I'm still there with Mitchell. I'm with you. I like him. 9 just feels very high considering. And for me, it was the 9-10 combo, right? We both have Walker at 3. So to see him at 10, I was like, oh, so you guys are all just going to be wrong on him. But at the same time, I'm the same guy who had Johnny Davis 4th on my board last year, and he's struggling right now, but I still believe. I think Johnny Davis is going to be excellent.
Yes.
Yeah. So
we can't give up on Johnny.
No, I'm definitely not. Just, I think it's hilarious how people are freaking out on Twitter and all these Wizards fans who didn't watch him in college. They're like, why did we draft this bum? And I think he's going to be just fine. But with that being said, Mitchell at 9 is very high for me because I have him 17th. So I'm with you.
Yeah. I think I have him 20 or 21. See. Something like that. And it's all going to come down to, hey, are you going to be able to shoot it? That's it. Like, if he shows that he is willing to let it fly, I'm going to move him up my board because I think there's a lot of intriguing stuff with his game. All right. At next group. First, shout out to everybody watching live. Make sure that you hit that that like button. Smash the thumbs up. Let's get some, if you have questions, make sure you put them in the chat and we'll get to those. Next group, 11 to 15. This is a crazy group. At 11, we have Derek Lively, average stock price 11.6. At number 12, we have Cason Wallace with an average price of 12. Mm. At 13, we have Khalil Ware, average stock price of 13.1. At 14, we have Anthony Black, average price of 13.3. And then at 15, we have our guy Brandon Miller from Alabama with an average stock price of 16.3. So we have Derek Lively, Cason Wallace, Khalil Ware, Anthony Black, and Brandon Miller making up that next group. Where do we begin with this five? We got the bigs, the two mm-hmm. bigs. So Lively and Ware is, you know, we covered Lively, but this is going to be the debate of the cycle of which big is the right first big off the board after Victor. I don't know. I might be at Ware. I don't know. I like Lively. I see it. We covered him. I felt better after we did it, but I still think there's something about Ware that intrigues me, even though I haven't seen the motor go. Where are you at with the Ware versus Lively debate?
I'm at the I don't know stage because Corey, I hope you know, you have a great influence on me at times. And this past weekend, you were texting to the group chat about Ware. So I said, you know what? If Corey likes Ware, let's figure this out. Why am I? Because on my board, I have Ware at like 24, I think. So I was like, okay, cool. So I had him at 24. Corey seems to like him a lot. Let me go back into this. So I watched him. And then, Corey, it happened for me where I was like, okay, I get it. Like, this kid is so damn fluid. He's really athletic. He's doing things on the court where I'm like, okay, this isn't necessarily normal. And then I went back to Lively and I was like, okay, wait, but Lively is also doing a lot of this stuff as well. And if I think back to what we said about Lively on our pod, I'm like, yeah, okay, cool. Like, remember Albert, the role that he's going to play and what he's going to be asked to do. He's going to be great. And the next level, he'll do the same and then be given more opportunity to try different things. So I'm all over the place with those two guys. I actually have them pretty neck and neck now after going back on the Ware stuff and like watching the FIBA stuff with Ware too. It's like, okay, like you're doing some stuff here, but also you're playing against like guys who are literally nowhere near your height or your level. So how much does this count for? So yeah. I'm all over the place with Ware and Lively, but I think I still have Lively over Ware for now.
Yeah. I have them, I think, back to back at 16, 17. I almost feel like they're the Thompson twins, the big man version of the Thompson twins, where it's like, they're just similar enough and just different enough that like they make the perfect compare contrast prospect. I agree though. I'm very confused, but here's the guy I'm the most confused about, because theoretically he represents like everything that I love. Mm-hmm. And that's Cason Wallace.
Okay.
I love Cason Wallace. Mm-hmm. I do. But the way I feel about him is the way I've felt about like some girls in my past.
Okay.
Where I'm like, I know I should like her more than I like her. She's beautiful. She's funny. Yeah. You know, she's caring and considerate. Mm-hmm. But there's something that's inside me that just is just going, why don't I care about her the way she cares about me? Mm-hmm. That's how I feel about Cason mm-hmm. Wallace. Like, Cason Wallace is this really hot girl that I want to date, who really likes me and wants to date me, but I just can't reciprocate the feelings. I don't know what it is, because I love how hard he plays defensively. Mm-hmm. I think he's pretty athletic from the guard spot. He's 6'4". He's got a good build. I think he's got a pretty decent shot, smooth floater. What am I missing? Why am I feeling like right now? I think I'm in the like back end of the 20s right now.
Wow.
Am I just more intrigued by other guys? Cause Cason Wallace is just boring and steady. And mm-hmm. I know that, you know, he's not going to go out to the club and like, you know, start texting other guys or DMing the other guys that after going to the club, he's just going to be waiting at home, you know,
Corey,
hoping that we could watch Love is Blind together. Like
what you're describing, Corey, in this hypothetical is just a girl that likes you too much is what it is. And there's no chase for you and you want the chase, you know, men are hunters, right? Is what it is. Okay. Corey, the way that you feel about Cason Wallace is how the NBA has felt about Jrue Holiday for the last 12 years, 12, 13 years,
I know.
Is what it is. And And Drew Holiday, an unbelievable talent, a guy who's made the All-Star team, a guy who is now an NBA champion, a guy who's an absolute all-world defender, is really good, but he's also kind of boring. Why? Because Drew Holiday is not going to hit you with really fancy moves. He's not going to talk trash to anybody. He's just going to be really good at basketball and marry an Olympic soccer player. And they're just going to have the most athletic babies ever is where Drew Holiday is at. And maybe that's not so exciting, but I happen to love Cason Wallace because I have Cason Wallace, I believe, 11th or 12th on my board. Let me see. Yep.
That makes sense.
He's good, Corey.
I know he is. I'm fully aware.
The defense is exciting, you know, and the floater game and the handle and the shooting. There's a lot to like there. I think, Corey, ultimately, this is where we are. The date today is where we are, like November 8th, 9th. I don't know.
Yeah. Election day.
That's correct. Election day. Go out and vote. In a couple of months, Cason Wallace, I think, is going to be much higher on your board. You're going to fall much deeper in love. And when we do his pod, you will sound very different, is my hypothesis.
I totally agree, and I could completely see myself doing that. You know, because there's only so long you want to go chasing those girls. Eventually, you got to settle down and come home.
There it is. Oh man, I'm glad our wives don't listen to our pods. So
never.
We love our wives, for the record,
more than anything. But yeah, just I can't imagine anything less boring. Unless we started a serial killer pod where each week we break down a serial killer, there's no way that she'd listen.
Nope.
All right, at 14 we had Anthony Black. We did an episode on Anthony Black early on the Draft DAC feed.
Yeah.
Reminder for everybody, we've moved over to the No Ceilings NBA feed. Make sure you subscribe to that. That's where all audio versions of this podcast will be. And I just can't wait to see this Arkansas team at full strength, because I feel the same exact way about Anthony Black as I did early on. He's this guy. He's just going to be a lot of fun. You know, in some of these scrimmage, like exhibitions, he's shown some awesome bounds, some awesome playmaking, all the stuff that we knew. I don't think that from the time we did our first episode to now, he's all of a sudden going to be this knockdown shooter. So for me, I'm in the same spot with Anthony Black as just a guy who I just think is going to be a hell of a lot of fun this year.
100%. Where did he end up on your board, Corey?
He 11, 12,
oh, okay.
11 or 12.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. I had him 9th. So I think you and I were right there. We're right in the same range. I think he's going to be unbelievably fun to play with. I think his teammates are going to love playing with him. He is, you know, people throw around sneaky athletic all the time. Anthony Black is actually sneaky athletic.
Yeah, because
he can really get up there.
Like his head's at the rim.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's weird because like the way that he carries himself, it's like, oh, how athletic can this kid be? And then he'll just go and literally just like jam it on someone's face. And so Anthony Black is a lot of fun. And then Corey, the most important name of this last five that we have him both at the same spot. We both have him 5th, if I'm not mistaken, is Brandon Miller. And yes, he is freaking good. And it's amazing to see where he's at. We were, The Athletic had him at 8. Good for you guys.
But you know what? When we did our episode, the Athletic didn't have him ranked. Their first board rankings, whatever it was. And right after we did his episode, they released an update. And I think it was based a little bit more on intel, where everyone's like, oh, this kid is actually fucking killing it.
Yeah.
And they moved him up into the top 10, which is firmly where he should be. But there's still a lot of outlets, you know, that either A, haven't updated their boards from like, you know, the summer, or just don't believe yet. I mean, his range is right now the highest 2. The Athletic had him at 8. No Ceilings had him at 9, collectively. We both have him at five personally. I know Rucker and Metcalf are also both big believers in him. So we have some skeptics at no ceilings is what we're saying. Like the rest of the outlets. I mean, SB Nation had him at 16, ESPN at 17, Basketball News at 17, Tankathon 19, and Sports Illustrated at 28, which kind of, you know, weighed down his,
yeah,
his average a lot. But I, you know, he had his first game against, you know, whomever the fuck State as well. And, you know, he didn't knock down the outside shot, which is something we're looking for this year, but he had 14 points, 14 rebounds, and he was filthy in the mid range. He made a lot of really fun passes. What did you say in the group chat about his passes?
No, I was just saying, like, he was celebrating every single one. Like, he was having so much fun passing. So,
yeah, because he's a fun passer. Like, he brings the ball up the court. He's got the size. He's the guy that I think is going to rise, you know, the most out of all the guys that we've talked about so far, just based on the fact that he's ranked the lowest. And I think, you know, he's got that kind of Paul George primary playmaking, or at least secondary playmaking potential there, which, you know, we did his episode on the No Ceilings NBA draft feed. You can listen to that in full if you want an hour breakdown about why we're, you know, head over heels for this dude. Mm-hmm. All right.
I also wrote an article about him, everybody.
That's
please
true.
Read it.
That was a tough article for me to read because I haven't yet watched Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm going to do this. So I have to like skip over all of the parts where I see any Game of Thrones references and just read the Brandon Miller stuff. <Yeah. laughs> But that's what I love about your writing so much.
Appreciate it.
Is how you so perfectly intertwine the pop culture with the basketball. So Brandon Miller has the sapphire eye. Go read that at noceivingnba.com if you want written words on our friend Brandon Miller. This next group is where things start to unravel a little bit, because outside of the number 16th guy, which is Terquavion Smith, after this, every prospect for the rest of the top 40 has at least one outlet that does not have them ranked.
Hmm.
So the first 15 plus Turk Smith at 16, all of those guys were ranked on every outlet that we had. After that, there's at least one to two to three outlets that don't even have that prospect ranked. So that's where we're at with the draft cycle. You know, we know that these outlets aren't as deep into guys as they will be a couple of months from now. That's where we're at. This is a preseason stock price. These are the IPOs. We're setting the stock price right now, live on the air. If you're watching live, make sure you hit the like button. Make sure you hit the comments. Our guys, Pasquis NBA, do you guys think there's any chance Filipowski enters the lottery range? It's a tough one for me.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, that kid's stroke at his height.
Filthy.
It's filthy. It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. Beautiful stroke. And we'll get to him later in the show. But I just don't think he's the kind of prospect that goes in the lottery anymore that NBA teams look for. You know, he's not this versatile defender that you have to be at that stage. You know, I think he's going to get a lot of like Kevin Love comparisons, and Kevin Love is a very good player. He's contributing a lot to a very, very good Cavaliers team, but he's doing it off the bench. And I think, you know, the reason he's doing it is because he doesn't have the same kind of defensive versatility as the guys that he play, you know, are in front of him. So that's what I think. That's where I think we're at with Filipowski.
Yeah, agreed. We also have to see what he's like playing without his brother. So,
all right. At number 16, we have Terquavion Smith with an average price of 16.6. 17, we had Gigi Jackson, average price of 18.7. At number 18, we had Rayon Rupert, average price of 23.7. So now you're starting to see where these stock prices versus their actual positioning is really going. At 19, we have Arthur Kaluma, average price of 25.4. And at number 20, we have Jordan Walsh with an average price of 25.6. So Terquavion Smith is the guy that I think most people consider the best returning player in college basketball. Do you agree with that, with the consensus?
So, Corey, Terquavion was a guy that was really difficult for me last draft cycle. Mm-hmm. He was quite low on my board. I don't have that exact number, but in terms of where he's at right now on my board is I have him at 21. Now, that was, and the main reason why I had some qualms with him was that I thought his decision making was pretty ridiculous at times, and it upset me, and it personally offended me at times how wild he was with the ball in his hands. But there's always a but. And the thing that I cannot deny about Turquavion Smith is that he can really shoot the damn ball. And he's another medium guard. He's about 6'4", right? But he looks taller just because he's so wiry and long. And
he's very long.
Yeah, kind of skinny and stuff. But also, I did want to say, Corey, seeing him right now in year two, he does look like he's bulked up a little bit. And I want to give him credit for that. He actually visibly looks stronger on the screen. So I do want to give him some respect and a shout out on that. And which is why, if he can be a little bit better, I don't want to say conservative, but if he could be a little bit better about protecting the ball and not giving it away so easily, it's very easy for me to see him rising up my board by a lot. So I kind of want to start there by saying Turquavion was a difficult evaluation for me last year, but I'm really glad he came back to school. And with him now being back at school, he definitely should be in the conversation as best in terms of best returning player. But in my eyes right now, I still like Arthur Kaluma a little bit more than him, is kind of where I'm at. But I'm not dead set on it. And Turquavion, I do want to give him the props for what he's done to his body. He does look pretty damn good to start.
Yeah, I think Turquavion Smith has a crazy draft range.
Yeah.
Because I think that he could be a top five pick. I think if he explodes, he could, I think he could have a Jaden Ivey type year.
Jesus.
And he's a lethal shooter with range from everywhere. He's an incredible athlete, so quick, he's got bounce. And, you know, thinking back to like the combine, I mean, we were shocked that he didn't come out. He looks like he was playing a different game than a lot of the prospects at the combine. You know, the speed of the game was just slow for him. He was able to get whatever he wanted. And I think all he has to do is show that he is a above average finisher at the hoop, which with his athleticism and hopefully that added strength, he could prove. If that happens, I think he's got top five potential because he is a crazy scorer. And there's a lot of, you know, Jordan Poole to his game. And that's a guy who just got what, $130 million contract. Like there is a real, real role for a guy like him in this league. He's still young. It's not like he's this super upperclassman. So, but I could also see him not, improving on his finishing all that much.
Right.
The playmaking not being where you want to see it at, and him just kind of being hot and cold from three, and him being a guy that maybe you take back end of the lottery, and it's more of like a Donovan Mitchell type thing where you could definitely see the path, but your teams weren't sure. And it doesn't mean he's not going to figure it out in the NBA, but I can also see that outcome for him. But I think he's probably going to be a lottery pick. I think I'm at 15 or 16 now to start the year. But as far as who I think the best or my favorite, the guy I have highest on my board for a returner, it's actually Marcus Sasser. So I think the best returning player in college basketball is. I'm a big fan. We'll get to him later. We'll get to Kaluma in a few minutes. But Turquavion Smith, he's a guy, he's going to be must watch, must scout, viewing every game this year. Cause he's one of these guys that could just be a guy that has to enter every draft conversation.
Yeah. 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 And after him, Corey, that next name is. We're going to have a lot to say.
I don't even know if I'm going to have a lot to say about GG Jackson. I think he's ranked appropriately. I think I have him at 23. His average price is 18.7. He comes in at 17th on the draft IPO. He's everything you want if you were creating a player in 2K. He is the kind of creative player you would create. But he doesn't have all the VC yet to, get that ranking up. So a lot of it looks cool, but I think he's going to struggle a lot this year.
Yeah.
Because you have to remember he reclassed, right? So he's a year younger than everybody. Mm-hmm. So you have to take that into consideration. So I don't know. I think he's exactly where he should be right now, because as much as he has that top 10 potential, you know, I think it's really hard. Like, you have to be pretty consistent to get up in that range, especially there's so many good wingy forwards in this draft that, you know, it's going to be hard as a guy who reclassified younger, a little bit raw. But who knows? Maybe he's just fucking awesome from the jump and, you know, he works his way into that range. I don't know. I think we probably feel similarly about him as a prospect right now.
I was appalled by how high I had him on my board, and I really started to question myself, Corey. I was like, what the hell was I doing? On my board, my first board, I have him at 16, and I was like, did I really put him at 16, or did someone doctor
To be fair, though, that's a fine ranking. Yeah. I mean, I know. His stock price is at 18. You're right within the standard deviation.
I know, but in my head, I was like, the way that I think about G.G. Jackson and the way that I've talked about him, it's like, why did I? It doesn't make sense. But Corey,
no ceilings had him at 13 on our board.
Right. I do want to say, Corey, everything that you said is so freaking accurate, because like, you look at like his body and like his frame and stuff, and you're like, ooh, yeah, like, looks great, you know? And then he starts doing stuff on the court and you're like, what? What's going on here? So he's going to be something, is the best way to put it.
The thing for me is, like, I just don't think he has the motor right now. Don't know, like, that to me was the thing that stood out, because that his highlights are fucking crazy. Like, he looks like
Kai Jones. I mean,
it's like Jonathan Bender 2.0.
Oh yes, my favorite.
Like, no, his highlights are sick. And but when I turned on the full game, it was just like, come on, man, like, do something. Yeah. Like, I was like poking him with a stick. Like, come on, man. It just wasn't there. It was like, take over. I want to see it. You could do it. I know you could do it. And he just wasn't doing it enough. And then, you know, he'd hit like a really awesome, like, turnaround off like a combo move. And you're like, yeah, that's why, you know, you had him at 16 on your first board. Why No Ceilings had him at 13. Why Basketball News has him at 10. The Athletic had him at 12. Like, the potential is there, but we've seen raw potential go sideways a lot. So I'm skeptical. Mm-hmm. All he could be, you know, number three on the next board. If he proves that he's that talented and that ready, I have no problem moving him up a lot throughout this process. I'm just skeptical right now is it. That's it. Rupert at 18. And this is where the stock price starts to jump in a weird way, because he comes in at 18th on the draft rankings, but his average price is 23.7. So this signifies to me that from here on out, a lot of outlets just don't know what to do with different guys. They're, because it's preseason, there's not like actual tape to judge on this year. It's just like a lot of personal favorites. And this is where things get crazy, because he's got a high of 13 on Sports Illustrated and then a low of 26. At No Ceilings and Tankathon. So SB Nation didn't have him ranked.
Okay.
That was, you know. So he's a guy that I do like a lot, though. And he just got hurt, I believe. So I think he's gonna be out for a little bit, but he did play some games with the New Zealand Breakers. He was a guy that I think was gonna like look shaky early on, and then similar to like how Usman Jang came on towards the end of that season, he would figure things out. But look, he's like 6'7", you know, that long, lanky French forward that we've all come to love. And I think he's got a smooth look and stroke. So I'm a buyer in the shot. He just has to improve his decision making and his ability to finish. And I think that'll come with strength and experience.
Yeah. Corey, recently, I don't remember who we were talking about, but you compared them to Nicolas Batum. And watching Rupert, I was like, oh, this guy also reminds me of Nicolas Batum a little bit. But
yeah,
Corey, I will say I'm not as high on his shooting as you are. Now, of course, you're the shooting doctor, so I should definitely defer to you. But watching him shoot, I was like, you know, there's work to be done here. It's not perfect, but if the shooting is going to be really good, or even at least like above average, then we're talking about a really interesting player, because the size is good. Even watching him play in the it's the NBL, right? Watching him play in the NBL, it's like, oh, you're like longer and bigger than like almost everyone on the court. And these NBL guys play really freaking physical. It's the NBL is a mix between rugby, Australian rules, football, and basketball. So consider all that.
That's legal. It's in their rule book.
It is. It is. Elbows to the face. Very encouraged. But watching him kind of hold his own there, and, you know, he's not from there, right? He's French, right?
He's French.
Yeah, he was there, and he was like not afraid, and he was mixing it up with people and playing with some nice aggression to his game. Not like Sue. He's not like a rah-rah, crazy, aggressive type of guy. But the fact that he wasn't backing down and kind of holding his own in that league made me feel even better. However, I will say, Corey, I must have been really skeptical about his shooting, because I have him 34th on my board. But once again, he may move up after me watching some more. But also, you said he is hurt, so... is he out for the season?
I don't think he's out for the season unless there's a new update on him.
I hope he comes back, because I am open to moving him up my board, because he did impress me by not being afraid of contact or physicality, and I thought he really held his own.
Yeah, I think I have him at 26, so part of me thinks it's a little low and that I'll eventually come up a little higher on him, but you know, we'll see, because the thing that differentiates him from Usman that we all love so much was Usman had this unbelievable playmaking feel. And, you know, Rupaire doesn't have that. No. So it doesn't mean that he doesn't have a lot of interesting wing tools, but, you know, he doesn't have that one special skill that is just stand out in comparison to a lot of the other guys in the class. All right. Number 19, Kaluma. A lot of guys seemingly are skeptical of Arthur Kaluma. It seems as though Sports Illustrated is the highest on him at 23. We have, Kaluma, we are the highest on him. We have him at 14.
Yeah.
But The Athletic doesn't have him ranked in a top 60. So, there's a lot of feelings about Kaluma right now. Do you think he's more towards that lottery ranking where he is at 14, or more towards, you know, a second rounder? Average stock price of 25.4, 19th ranked prospect, Arthur Kaluma.
I have Kaluma at 14 on my board right now. So same. I'm definitely more towards the lottery. The thing I like about Kaluma is that he's not afraid, Corey, at all.
No.
Like, he's not afraid of anybody or anything. He is the boogeyman. He's the one that you need to be afraid of, because I think Kaluma is a guy who is willing to pull from anywhere. I thought he looked phenomenal over the summer playing for his country. I like the stuff that he did last year for Creighton. Is he a finished product? Absolutely no. But I like that he has shit to him, and I like that he can shoot. And I like that he's not afraid to shoot. I mean, we talk about, Corey, we talk so much about these hypothetical shooters, guys that, you know, people say like, oh, you know, he's going to become a shooter, but then he never does, because he doesn't ever put up the volume. Well, Kaluma's not afraid. Go back and watch how he played in the tournament. I think there was a game he's playing against Kansas, and he was just like,
oh, he went off.
Yeah.
That was his breakout game.
Yeah. I'm going to freaking put it up with confidence, and there's nothing you can do about it. I loved that game. And I like him a lot. And so he's at 14 for me, and I feel great about it. Like, I really think he might move up even higher with the season that he's about to have at Creighton. So I'm with you, man. I like him a lot.
Yeah. Like, and here's the thing about Kaluma is that, like, he fits the direction of the league. You know, he is a switchable, wingy, versatile guy who can make shots and get to the hoop and finish, and there's a lot to him to like. So I'm a little surprised there's skepticism towards him right now, especially after, you know, breaking out on the biggest stage against the eventual national champions. But
right.
Yeah, I'm in, man. I'm in on Kaluma. I think he would have been draftable last year had he decided to come out early, even after, just based on some of the raw stuff.
Right.
But he had a great summer. That Creighton team is going to be really fun to watch. And I think that Kaluma is a guy that, like, there is a pathway to where he could be, I don't want to say the level of this guy, because obviously we're just talking shades of and not like this is going to happen. But like, there's a lot of like Pascal Siakam to his game, in my opinion. You know, like I think that that's kind of the player he can grow to be at some point in his career. So I definitely think he's a guy that is going to be more trending towards a lottery conversation than, you know, the 30s or the second round. But that's why we set the stock price early, because we never know.
Yeah.
And then number 20 is Jordan Walsh, who, again, his stock price is all over the place, and a lot of fans for Jordan Walsh. I'm confused about Walsh. I like him a lot. I thought his link tape was fun. Not the guy at link that I always kind of had my eye on. I more so liked Julian Phillips. And I think he's in the perfect spot playing next to like Nick Smith and Anthony Black. And Anthony Black is going to throw some fucking oops to this guy that are going to be a lot of fun. But Jordan Walsh to me feels like he could be a 2-year guy.
Okay.
That's my initial impression of him. I think right now I have him somewhere in the 30s, maybe. Oh, wow. I had him. I need to see him be able to shoot it a little bit more consistently than where he's currently shooting it.
Yeah. Yeah. I won't fight you. I have him higher. I have him at 19. The thing with me with Walsh is I think he's a freak defender.
Yes. Absolutely.
I love watching this guy play defense, and it's like a weird thing, right? Like, ultimately, I should care more about the shooting and, you know, his lack of and the growth that's going to have to come with him as a shooter. But just watching him defend, like, really gets me excited. And I know I mentioned this to you before, Corey, but just like watching his arms and how he just decided to trade in his arms for ladders, it doesn't make sense to me. And it's really jarring and exciting to watch. So I just love Walsh so much as a defender that he kind of ran up my board all the way to 19. But I don't want to disagree with you and everything that you said, because I think that's fair. Those are fair critiques, right? Things that he needs to work on. I also do think that Walsh has some real passing chops at times as well that I want to see more of. But as you mentioned, the situation that he's in is perfect. And I believe that's the type of situation that he should be pursuing on the next level as well in the NBA. He's going to be a guy who could be a point of attack, number one defender, guarding the best player on the other team every single night, but also on the offensive side of the ball, kind of more of a support role, right? A guy who hopefully works on that shot, and he becomes more of a 3-and-D type of guy than ever being like your number one or number two option. Mm-hmm. It's kind of how I see Jordan Walsh. And so I feel okay having him at 19, because if a guy like that goes at 19, you feel pretty good about it. So
yeah, absolutely. I mean, and I think that is a perfectly fine place to rank him. I could also see where he's kind of like, he goes in like Josh Green range, and he fills that Josh Green role, you know, and it takes a couple of years for him to really get that shot down. But eventually, you know, he plays within the right team and right system, and he's just, a great complement to your star. Like, that is absolutely a path for him. So that's the appeal. And I think if I was a little more confident in, because I do think he also has potential to, like, if he stayed another year, he'd be one of these guys who'd be like, oh, I think he could break out and be a lottery guy next year.
That's fair. So
maybe he does it this year, you know? But also he feels like he's got this crazy potential that he could fill, but I don't know if we're going to see it fully this year.
That's fair.
All right, let's take a quick break, and then we will get to the 21 through 40th ranked prospects on the DraftDAQ rankings. All right, we are back to finish off rankings 21 through 40 on the initial DraftDAC rankings to start the season. And the next five, we have Marcus Sasser at 21, average price of 28. Chris Murray at 22, average price of 28.4. Tyrese Proctor at 23, average price of 28.9. Amari Bailey at 24, average price 28.9. And then Chris Livingston at 25, average price of 29.6. Where are you at with this group? Who's your favorite guy out of all of those five guys?
In terms of ranking, it's definitely Amari Bailey. I have Amari Bailey actually 10th on my board. I get it. I know I'm irrationally high on him. I wrote an article about him. I kind of fell in love. That can change, right? He might dip or he might even go higher depending on how I feel about the guy. But Bailey's a guy that I really, really enjoy watching and a guy that I'm hoping has an unbelievable season this year for UCLA. With that being said, the guy, Corey, that I really wanted to ask you about, that I want to hear your thoughts on, is Chris Livingston, because he's a guy that I think can be a bit a difficult evaluation for a lot of people. But what I wanted to say really quickly about Livingston, considering the role that he had playing at Oak Hill last season, I think there's a lot more to his game than he was able or given the freedom to show. I actually think he's going to be a really good NBA player is how I feel right now. But I want to hear your thoughts because we just haven't discussed him at all.
No, I like Livingston a lot. And I think here's my thing. My first experience watching him were the All-Star games. The McDonald's game, I believe the Jordan Classic. And he played really well in the All-Star games. And there was this freedom. He shot the ball really well. He finished through traffic. And then I watched the Oak Hill stuff. And I'm sorry, Maxwell. I know Judiment's your guy.
Yes, say it.
I did not care for the Oak Hill team last year.
Yep.
I didn't like Judiment's a lot of interesting tools there. He could score. He's a bucket. He's shifty. All the things theoretically I would love, but he also never met a shot that he didn't want to take. And I felt like Chris Livingston was lost a lot of times in that offense. And I feel like they really didn't do the job of making sure that both guys ate.
Right. Right.
It felt like they were in the cafeteria and they both had plates, but Judiments ate all his shit early. He gobbled it up, and then he started taking, you know, off of Chris Livingston's plate. I don't think he got a fair shake there, because I think he's got a good-looking stroke. He's a strong dude with good size. Mm-hmm. He's not like a crazy athlete, but he's a decent athlete. Mm-hmm. And I just felt like that Oak Hill team was not the right context.
Yeah.
I think the Kentucky team, I don't know. I mean, we know Wheeler is a guy who kind of, you know, likes to get his own a little bit too. But I feel like he's going to look better at Kentucky than he did at Oak Hill. And he could be a guy that I could see definitely being in that like 12 to like 18 range come draft time.
Yep. Yep. Corey, you said exactly what I was trying to say. Like, he just wasn't given the opportunity. I mean, if you go back and watch it, when was Chris Livingston catching the ball with 3 seconds left in the shot clock? You know, desperation, one pass away into the corner. He has to chuck up a 3-point shot. It didn't feel fair is what I wanted to say. I didn't feel like he was given the same opportunity, and in a different context, I think he's going to be able to showcase much, much more than what he was able to in high school. So he's definitely a guy that I think people should kind of earmark and write down in pen, in my opinion, that as a guy who is really going to become a much better player than where he is right now or how he's being discussed right now. I feel very strongly about it, actually, Corey.
I agree. I agree with you. The other guy I really want to talk about in this in this group that we're in is Marcus Sasser, because I had Sasser really high on my board last year until he missed the year. And then he came back for the draft combine, shot the shit out of the ball, and ultimately decided to come back and bet on himself. I think Marcus Sasser is going to go on a fucking warpath this year. He is going to just destroy everybody. I think that Houston team is going to be tremendous. I think they're going to make a run to the Final Four. And I don't care that Marcus Sasser is old. I think he's going to... Here's my hot take. You listening, Paige? Clip this. Marcus Sasser is going to be a lottery pick in the 2023 NBA draft.
There it is. There it is.
Marcus Sasser is one of my guys. This dude is the best tough shot maker in college basketball. Just like we were talking about with Keontae George with that bulldog build, he has that bulldog build. He's got great length. He's an excellent on-ball defender. Can play on or off the ball as a shooter. I think the playmaking is there. I think he's going to make strides as a playmaker. You could just see him being a guy who has a run in a NBA playoff game where you're just like, this guy's on fire and there's nothing nobody can stop him. There's nothing anybody can do to stop it. He can do whatever he wants. He's going to get to wherever he wants. High volume 3-point shooter. He's what you want in one of these small, medium sized NBA guards. Yep. I think he's going to be on a warpath. I think he's going to destroy people this year. It's my hot take.
I love that you just pulled the Bill Simmons calling Kyle to turn the TikTok camera on. And we've got Paige helping us out with that. So shouts to you, Paige. But Corey, I am with you. And you know what? The best thing that could have ever happened to him was him coming back to play with Jairus Walker. Jairus Walker is going to, in my opinion, only enhance Sasser's game, make him look better, only make his life easier by being an absolute stalwart as a defender. So I love it all. I think it's phenomenal. I have him not as high as you do, but I can very easily see myself getting there with you. So I love it all.
Yeah, he's going to be a lot of fun this year. Either that or he's going to make me look really stupid. So either way, that'll be a win. Next group at 26, we have Grady Dick, stock price 29.6. Leonard Miller, no ceilings favorite, at 27, average price of 30.3. At 28, we have Sidy Sissoko at 31.3. 29, we have Nikola Jurišić at average price of 32.9. And then at number 30, top 30, take that, no ceilings, we have Jami Jaquez Jr. with an average price of 33. Top 30 ranks Jami Jaquez entering the year. Yeah. It's first round territory, guys.
Yeah.
Just listen.
I love Jaquez. Hey, you're the one who put me onto Jaquez last year. I saw him play live a bunch last year. Jaquez, I currently have 18th on my board. So enough said. Love the guy.
Let's go.
Grady Dick, very interesting guy that, Corey, I'd love to hear your thoughts on because he's a little divisive as well.
He is.
Leonard Miller, I saw live and I did not enjoy that at all. Sidy Sissoko, a guy that I know you're not a big fan of, but for me, Corey, I liked him as a defender and the jump shot when I saw it live in front of me looked good enough. I don't know if Sissoko's ever going to be a 40% 3-point shooter, but I can actually see him being like a 35 to 37. I know we're talking about like 3% guys. Don't kill me for it, but there is a difference in terms of perception.
Yeah.
But Sissoko, I actually do like a little bit, but I also know what you're going to say about Sissoko. And I agree because there is this thing about Sissoko where you don't feel him all the time on the court. And it's kind of like, why is he on the court, but also hiding at the same time, which I do understand, but there's something about him that I do kind of enjoy. And it's especially on the defensive side of the ball that I like about him is what I'll say about that group.
Yeah. He has a lot of fans. I get it. Good body. You know, there's some intriguing tools. I think what it comes down to for me, and I'm just trying to kind of look at the short history of this Ignite team. I don't know how many draft spots, and we're going to play an over-under game when we're done here. There are for these Ignite prospects. And right now, you know, Scoot, obviously, he's the outlier. He's going to be the second pick in the draft.
Right.
Leonard Miller, for as much as I think, you know, we're out on him as a collective at no ceilings, he does have intriguing tools that are worthy of betting on, at least somewhere. And Sissoko, I don't know. I'm not there yet. I think this is the weakest crop of Ignite talent so far. Outside of Scoot, obviously Scoot's he's the highest end talent they've ever had. But I think as a collective for their draft class, I'm not a buyer overall. So I don't know. Sissoko, there's he's fine. Yeah. He's fine. There's just other guys I'd rather take a chance on.
Sure.
Grady Dick had a great debut playing with our guy, Kevin McCullough, friend of the, the program at Kansas, defending national champions. I thought he struggled in high school against like versatile defenders to really get like clean looks. I think his body is a little underdeveloped, but he could shoot it. So he's a good passer. He's got good size. I don't know. What do you think about him?
Good God. I think, you know what, Corey? I think Grady Dick's going to grow on us. It's how, this is, what am I saying?
There you go.
Here we go.
You took the bait.
There it is. I did. I should
grab
be better.
The low-hanging fruit. No, I should you needed be to do it.
I should be better. I didn't even mean to. But here we go. So this kid, Dick, he's gonna grow on us. I really believe it. And here's where I'm at. I think physically, do I want him to gain 10 pounds? Yeah. Yeah. But also, he's not like the weakest dude either.
No, he's got good size.
I like the shooting stroke a lot, and I am a sucker. Oh, I think both of us, we're such suckers for the shooting form, and he's got a pretty looking one, and he really is going to shoot it well on this team. Because Corey, like you said, considering the construction of this roster, I think they are going to get him some good opportunities with the team that he's playing on. So I do like that for him, and I think ultimately this is what's going to happen. I think he's just going to show the NBA that he can be a Kevin Herter type of guy. And I hate to do the white guy comparison, but I mean, it's kind of accurate here, right?
Yeah.
Although, you know, Herter is able to do stuff with the ball in his hands, and maybe Dick can do as well. So we shall see. But I think I like him better than I thought I would. I think on my board, give me 1 second. I had Grady Dick. Wow. I had Grady Dick at 39 on my initial board. So that's pretty rough, but he's definitely going to be a little bit higher on the next one. I think not that he's going to shoot up into my lottery or anything like that, but okay. I'm going to stop talking because everything sounds weird.
I had him at 36 on my first board.
Wow.
I think my concern with him is that he was going to be a multi-year guy.
Oh,
but I think you're right on this specific team. They're going to have a good run. And he does have a lot of tools. He's got good size. He could shoot the hell out of the ball. I certainly think that he has the potential to be a one and done guy. Absolutely. So we'll see. We'll see. He could very easily, very quickly kind of make me flip how I feel about him by just, contributing earlier than I thought, more consistently, and especially just expectation wise. Cause I think a lot of the Grady Dick stuff was like top 20, maybe some lottery stuff early on. And I just didn't see that. So that was part of it. So I think that his place at number 26 on the first IPO makes a lot of sense. I think that's very fair.
Yeah.
All right. Next group. There's some guys you like, some guys that you're going to get an opportunity to see. Guy that I'm going to get an opportunity to see. Mm-hmm. We have Julian Strother at 31, average stock price 35.7. Adem Bona at number 32, average price of 35.8. Jillian Phillips at number 33, average price of 36.4. Jet Howard at 34, average price of 37.1 heading into the year. And then Daron Holmes the second at 35, average stock price of 37.4. I feel like we have to start with the talk of the town right now, Jet Howard. Coming in, starting the year, 34th, second round territory. This kid's been lighting the net on fire, NBA Jam style, his first couple of games. Who the fuck's State University has not enjoyed playing against Jet Howard? He's been over 20 in both games, scoring at all three levels. And the thing about Jet Howard, who I had at 19 on my first board, I believe. Thing about Jet Howard, he looks huge.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In those yellow jerseys, I'm like, and with the undershirt that he's wearing, I'm like, is that Anthony Davis?
Right.
Like, right. He's huge. The kid is huge, man.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Corey, I did want to ask. So I had Howard at like, let me see. I had Howard at 33, actually, on my board to start.
So right where his ranking is.
Yeah. Not bad, not bad. Corey, where coach's kid, right? They're really excited about him. He's shooting the lights out. He's going to come down to earth, in my opinion.
Of course.
And I'm sure Metcalf's going to hate to hear that. I do think he's going to come down to earth a little bit. Where do you think his ultimate median outcome looks like for him? Because I do like him. I don't want to be Debbie Downer here. I love that he's having a great start to the season, but I just feel like there's going to be a leveling out in terms of his production. Where do you kind of see him ending up in terms of not necessarily where he gets drafted, but like his overall outlook as a prospect? Because he's not the perfect prospect, in my opinion. I think there are certain things there that, you know, wanted to get your take on that because once again, respect to him, great start to the season, but he is going to come down to earth a little bit.
Sure. And so the thing I liked about him is that he popped on the tape. IMG was my favorite high school team last year. That was the Keontae George, Jairus Walker, and Jed Howard team. And as much as I always liked watching Keontae and Jairus, Jed Howard always managed to be a guy that you looked at and like, wow, he's popping on the film. He's not going to average 25 points per game for the entire season, you know, his entire freshman season. Obviously, mm-hmm. That's not where he's going to be at.
Sorry, Metcalf.
But I think that he is a guy that even if he doesn't become this really versatile offensive wing. And I think one of the things that you really like that he's shown early on in these Michigan games is that he's had a couple of nice passing possessions out of the pick and roll, some really good feel, high IQ. But I think even if he's not hitting that 20 point per game scorer where you're like, this is a guy who you're giving a bulk of the offense to, I think like he could definitely be like a Jay Crowder type guy on a team. And just a guy who like is going to be able to put pressure because he can get hot and score. I think young Jay Crowder is probably a little bit quicker to attack closeouts and whatnot than he is now. But he's just got such good size. He's got good feel. I think this is a guy who we've seen these guys succeed. We've seen these guys, you know, sometimes go lower than they should. I don't know. I don't think he's going to be a guy that averages 25 a game. I don't even know if he's going to be a guy that averages 20 a game. That's a tough bar to get to in college basketball.
Correct.
But I could see him settling in conference play at 14, 15, 16 points a game, 5-6 rebounds, a couple of assists, and projecting to be a switchable guy. And that's a lottery pick.
That is.
That's probably a lottery pick. I'm going to go see him live this year. So I'm very excited to scout him then. But I think there's a real role for him in the NBA because he fits so much of what you want. And he's been prepared for it his whole life.
Yeah.
You know? Corey,
I do want to say in this pocket of five guys here, I think they're all kind of similar in that way, a lot of them. Because the next guy that I want to talk about is a guy that you sold me on and a guy who I think in my next big board, I might have him in the lottery range, is Julian Phillips. And also a guy like Julian Strother as well. These are all, in my opinion, similar guys that are going to play a high-end role in the NBA. And when I say high-end, I don't mean like first or second option, but guys who are going to be key contributors to a contending team because of the versatility that they could potentially bring as defenders, but also offensively as well with the shooting that they're going to be able to provide and also the little extra, right? The phrase that you've always used, right? 3+ type of stuff, right? Watching Strother and his, you know, what he can do around the rim is awesome for me. I love his floater. I love that he's growing. In the first game of the season, he's already attacking the rim more and showing more stuff with that. Julian Phillips is a guy that you told me to go watch, and he was really, really fun to watch. A guy who I think his shooting stroke is only going to get better from here, and defensively there's stuff to him as well. So this group right here is pretty interesting to watch, because there's a lot of guys who I think may play not exactly the same, but similar roles for an NBA team.
Yeah, with Strother, when I was in Atlanta for the Overtime Elite Pro Day, I was talking to a NBA scout on the West Coast that had just went and watched the Gonzaga guys work out. And I asked how Strother looked, and he was like, yeah, I like Strother. He's like, look good. You know, what I like about him is he doesn't need the ball. You know, he's a good cutter. And, you know, it was good vibes for Strother based on what the NBA scout had seen. So I think that's encouraging. Definitely a guy that easily could see going like 22.
Yeah.
You know, yes. Julian Phillips is a guy that he was the guy on Link that I was immediately drawn to when I watched their games. Because I just think that I just loved his shot. I loved his stroke. Even on misses, it looks so clean. And what I liked about him is he has like a little bit of creativity on the ball. A little bit of juice there, but what I really loved is how well he moves off of it and how he doesn't need the ball in his hands, and how he can come off floppy action and pin downs and rams and Spain and do all this fun stuff at the NBA level. He's athletic, he gets out in the open court, and even if the on-ball stuff, like you said, the 3D+, like even if that it doesn't develop to where you want it to, he's still got this fun baseline,
right?
You know, and I know you know, Rucker is in on him as well, but at no ceilings, you know, we have him at 32. We have him at 36, sorry. And so some of the guys are going to be a little bit late to the party, but I think that Julian Phillips is going to be a guy who's in the top 20 conversation all year. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm wrong, but I just really like his game. I think he's got a fun offensive scoring package. He's long, athletic, versatile wing. You know, if haven't noticed a trend over the last like 2 years, big fan of the wingy guys, the versatile wings. There's just a role for them in the NBA, and I think he's another one of these guys. So if he's a second rounder, I think he goes back. That's where I think he's at, because I think he's got a lot of talent.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I like him a lot.
All right, let's finish up this 36 to 40 range, which actually, in my opinion, is a little bit stronger than some of the other ranges here. But at 36, your guy, Jordan Hawkins, average price at 37.4. At 37, Kyle Filipowski, Duke big man. We talked a little bit earlier. Average price of 37.6. At 38, Jalen Hood-Scafino, Indiana point guard. Average stock price of 38.4. 39, Harrison Ingram, average price of 39.8. And at 40, Tyrese Hunter, average price of 40.2. Honorable mention to Colby Jones, who came in at 41 at 40.7. All right, we have to talk about Jalen Hood-Scafino's draft stock being at 38 in the preseason.
Mm-hmm.
Led the Montverde team. Mm-hmm. He was the engine. I know that Dariq Whitehead was the guy on that team. Dylan Mitchell was the guy who was really fun, had the dunks in the open court. I get it. Yada, yada. Jalen Hood-Scafino ran the team. He was the glue that kept that thing together. I love him. He is a lottery pick. I think I have him at 11 right now. He's got excellent size, mid-range killer. The pace he plays with is so damn fun. He's so crafty in the pick and roll. He'll do these little things that you don't notice unless you watch very closely, where he's taking like retreat dribbles to open up like a little space, or he's making passes by looking guys off with his eyes to open up little creases to fling the ball through. I get it. Right now, he's not a knockdown 3-point shooter, but the form looks good. Let the kid grow as a shooter, because it's going to be easy for him to extend that range. I think he's going to be a lot. How about this? Here's another hot take. I think there is a chance that Jalen Hood-Scafino is the first Montverde prospect taken in the draft?
It's possible. It's definitely possible. Yeah.
It might not be probable.
but Corey, considering, I mean, look, there are a lot of things, right? We already talked about Mitchell, and there is real volatility to his stock. We talked about Whitehead and the fact that he's starting the season injured. So it's very possible. And I'm right there with you. I'm not as high, but I have Schifino at 15 on my board. So he's clearly a guy that should be much higher than where he currently is being ranked by these other outlets. And it's everything that you said. The kid has really great size for the type of role that he's going to play. He's got great vision. Corey, everything that you said, the timing to his play, the nuance to his play, the desire and he's readily able to let things cook and let things kind of marinate before he throws it on the grill. He's really smart about letting things and letting the play develop. And he's, as you mentioned, right, the little nuance, the stuff that he can do with his eyes and the misdirection and all that stuff. It's fantastic with him. And the thing that I love about him the most, and I think you and I, we love our mid-range killers, and he's an absolute mid-range killer. He's a technician from there, a guy who's his shot from there is really good, and it gets you excited about him shooting from that third level as well. I love it. And also around the rim too. Like, he's got good touch around there as well. And there's a lot to like there. So I'm with you 100% on that. 100%.
A guy that you're not with me on.
Mm-hmm.
Harrison Ingram.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where does your skepticism where does your skepticism lie? You saw him live last year.
Yeah. Harrison, I know you're listening, so this is kind of like my video letter to you, buddy. Look, I get it, man. With Harrison Ingram, I understand why people like him. The playmaking is there with him. The thing that I just didn't like so much about his game is that I thought, in my opinion, that he also was a in-and-out type of player, hot and cold type of player. And I don't mean his scoring. I meant his engagement. There are a lot of times that I felt like he was invisible on the court, very much the Tobias Harris syndrome or the Andrew Wiggins syndrome before
Long Island winning. Legend, Tobias Harris.
Yeah, correct. Long Island legend, Tobias Harris. But there's this aura to Ingram where it was like, buddy, like, I see it. I get it. Like, even during warm-ups, there was this like cockiness to him where he knew that he was like this highly touted prospect and he was really, really good. And, you know, he's kind of going nonchalant through his warmups, and then the game started and I was like, cool, there are a lot of guys who can take it a little slower, a little lighter in warmups, but we'll turn it on when the game starts. And he just never flipped that switch. And I also thought that physically he wasn't in prime shape. I felt like he could, you know, I thought it would benefit him to lose about 15, 20 pounds. His legs were like really, really thick, but not like in the muscular way. And I was like, hey, if you trim down a little bit, I think that'll help you as well. And so the verdict is still out. I said I don't like him, but I don't actually mean that. I am hoping for the best. He currently on my big board is pretty low, actually. I have Harrison Ingram at 37. Right, which according to this, I guess I'm pretty spot on. I don't know. But I understand the highs. I understand why people like him. I just want to feel him more on the court is where I'm at.
I don't disagree. And I think that had he been a more aggressive player, he'd have been in a first rounder last year.
Yeah. Agreed.
You know, because I know a lot of people are a little worried about his shot. I'm not. I think his form looks fine. My biggest concern is the finishing. He was not a good finisher. And with somebody of his size, and he's not the most athletic guy, but he's got great size. And honestly, I don't think his touch is that bad.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's soft, but it's not accurate. And he has to finish inside. It's a lot like Turquavion Smith. If this is a guy who finishes inside at that size with those playmaking chops, this is a guy that I think is a top 20 guy pretty easily, especially if, you know, he ends up being in, you know, like better condition than last year, another year older, another year wiser. So he's going to be an interesting guy to track. Tyrese Hunter, rounding us out at 40. He's got a crazy kind of draft range. Sports Illustrated had him at 20, and then ESPN has him at 70 right now. So this is a guy who his stock is everywhere. I saw him at Iowa State last year, and he really impressed me in person. I don't care that he's short. He's one of these bulldog, strong, stocky guys. On the ball, he reminds me a lot of Davion Mitchell. Davion Mitchell, I think, is probably going to be one of the, you know, best on ball point of attack defenders of all time when it's all said and done. So I don't think I'm going to put those kind of expectations on him, but he really is impressive and can really get after you and into you and move and shadow you on the ball. He's got really fun playmaking chops. I think that he's got good feel and good vision, and he could really make some fun plays. It comes down to if he shoots 45% from the floor and 36% from three, he's legit. Anything better than that, he's a lotto pick, regardless of the size.
Yeah.
Or at least in the conversation. He's one of the guys that you feel him on the court. He makes you feel him. So I think that Tyrese Hunter is I'm glad he made the top 40.
Yeah.
Because I think he's going to be a riser.
No, I'm with you. The shooting with him, it looks fantastic. I really like him as a shooter a lot. You mentioned the bulldog type of attitude that that he has. Currently on my board, I actually have him at 42. Was kind of where I had him, which is a little bit is pretty low. I agree with all of that, but I don't know. At this point, I think
it's safe.
Pretty accurate. Yeah, but also, like, for me, Corey, like, I have this weird thing with, like, I have a lot of hesitancy when it comes to smaller guards, and that's something I need to work on, or something Yeah, I guess. But I don't know. At the same time, like, I need to see it is where I'm at. And the funny thing is, see, that's the thing, though. Like, sometimes I feel like I have double standards, though, because, like, another guy that's in the same range is Jordan Hawkins, and it's not like Jordan Hawkins is a giant on the court either. He's kind of like a medium-sized guard as well. But no, I'm with you, man. I like Hunter a lot. I just have him much lower. I'd like to see more this season. And he's playing on a new squad, right? He's playing in for Texas this year with Dylan Mitchell. So,
and he might not be the best guard in that backcourt.
Right.
Artario Morris is a really talented kid. He's got some baggage with him. But he's a talented kid.
Right. Yeah, it's true. And I'm not laughing at what Artario Morris did. I'm more laughing at, like, he's a guy that we'd love to talk a little bit more about, but he's got some real issues that he's got to figure out. So we'll see how that goes. But I like Hawkins a lot, man.
What do you like about him?
For me, it's just Hawkins feels like the prototypical can get you a bucket at any time. A guy who just, I think, will have a long career being a professional scorer. Right, like guys like, I don't know, like a Terrence Ross or a Will Barton, or these guys have just been around forever, you know. They're like wings who you put the ball in their hands and they can figure it out. And Hawkins is shorter than both of the guys that I mentioned, but there's this ethos about him that I really do enjoy, where it's like, yeah, I'm gonna come out here and be really, like, as a freshman he played on that UConn squad, and they had some upperclassmen there and guys that really wanted the ball. What's the tall guy, his name's Sanogo, right? They had guys on that team that really wanted the ball in their hands, and he was unafraid at times to go out there. And he's not perfect, though. Some of the shot selection, I think, needs to improve, but I like the stroke on him. I like the aggression on him. Him playing with Andre Jackson is interesting to me, because Andre Jackson feels like a nice support, wild, athletic type of guy. So I continue to be high on Jordan Hawkins, and I hope he figures it out even more this season.
There's nothing more I would like to see than UConn return to, you know, that kind of status they held once upon a time. Before we end, I want to hit some over-unders that I went through. Okay. First one, Duke Blue Devils. Over-under, 2.5 picks selected.
Jesus. So the line is at 2.5.
2.5. Tyrese Proctor, Dariq Whitehead, Kyle Filipowski, Mark Mitchell.
Yeah, I'm going to go over. I'm going to go over because I think Proctor here is kind of the kind of the nail in the coffin because, no, that's not even the right saying because that's a negative connotation. But Derek Whitehead at number one, and then Lively is going to get picked. And then I think Proctor is a guy who very easily could go in the 20s. And then Mark Mitchell is going to have fans. I really believe it. I think Mark Mitchell. Yeah, I like Mitchell as well. And then Filipowski could be a second round guy, might go undrafted, but who knows? Right, he could be a second round guy, a guy maybe even go late first round. So I'm going to take the over on that.
UCLA over under 2.5 picks selected.
Jesus, I'm going to go under. I think it's going to be Jaquez and Bailey, and then Bona. I think is going to go back.
I agree with you there. I'm going under on UCLA, over on Duke. The G League Ignite over under 2.5 picks selected.
Under hammer it, lock.
Lock. Under. And I'm the one who didn't like.
I know. Under lock.
I'm also going under.
Yeah.
Arkansas over under 2.5 picks selected.
I'm going to take the over and I'm going to say it's a lock.
Lock.
Yes.
Lock and it in. Arkansas.
Let me explain, Corey, really quickly, because I think whether it's Walsh or Brazil, one of them is going to find a lot of fans in a front office, and that'll be the third player. So I think that'll be my lock.
I'm also going over. I don't know if it's a lock, mm-hmm. but I'm going over. Mm-hmm. Kentucky, over under, 1.5 picks selected, first round.
I'm going to take the over. I think Livingston's going to be that good.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to go over. Outside shot for Jacob 3. Toppin. Oh, outside shot. Jacob Toppin, I think, is going to be a second rounder. But yeah. Outside shot for 3. Houston, over under, 1.5 picks selected in the lottery.
Okay, so for me, I'm not where you're at, so I'm going to take the under very easily here.
I'm going over. I'm taking Jairus Walker and Marcus Sasser in the lottery. Last one, the overtime elite, over under, 1.5 picks selected in the top 7.
I am actually going to take the under. And you know why.
I'm going to take the over.
Okay.
I think they both go top 7.
Corey, I think there's a very real world that Asar goes top 7 and Amen doesn't. And it's my gut. And it's just me hating too. So
I think that Amen is going to go top 5.
Yeah.
I don't think at this point, I don't know what he could do that would drop his draft stock, really. I don't. I think NBA teams have seen him up close a lot.
Yeah.
They've been to the pro days. You know, they've seen him up close.
Oh.
The competition is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's hard to judge. He played well overseas against real competition, played well against the Adelaide 36ers. I believe it was the Adelaide 36ers that beat the Phoenix Suns.
Mm-hmm.
Played well against Mega.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to be a top 5 pick lock, even though I don't agree. So I need Asar to work his way into the top 7.
Yeah,
is where I'm at.
My only thing, though, Corey, actually, you're probably right. You know, you're probably right. But I'm just saying, what if there's a world where the kid just absolutely does not figure out the shooting at all this season?
I think there's going to be a team that wants to bet on him.
Okay.
In the long term.
Sure. Ben Simmons. Okay.
Ben Simmons. Isaac Okoro.
Yeah, you're right. Okay.
I mean, look, I'm not saying, maybe not. It's, but he's got the plus positional size. He's got the playmaking. He's a freak athlete, good defender, and he's very marketable.
You might be selling me. No, but I get it. I just, there's a big part.
Doesn't
of
mean
it
we have to agree with the ranking.
Yeah, correct.
But I think as far as the selection, I think he's going to be a
I'll change my answer. Top five guy. I'll change my answer. Yeah, I'm with you on the over.
All right. Well, that was my last over under. So that's going to do it. We set the stock prices for the top 40 prospects as of right now in November for the class of 2023. Thank you. This is a long episode. So anybody who's still watching live, we appreciate it. Make sure you smash that like button if you haven't yet. Make sure you subscribe if you haven't yet. If you're listening to this on any of your audio platforms, make sure that you rate and review. That stuff really helps. 5 stars up in this bitch. Mm-hmm. And make sure that you head to NoCeilingsNBA.com. Subscribe to the website. All of our content is free. You'll get it Monday through Friday delivered directly to your inbox. And a lot of fun stuff this year. Albert, tell the people around the World Wide Web where they can find you.
You can find me at Alberto Gim is my handle on Twitter, is where you can find me. I wrote some stuff last week about Brandon Miller, as I mentioned. We did a pod on him. I did a TikTok for the first time in my life.
Let's go. A lot of
new things are happening over at No Ceilings, but it's a lot of fun. We love what we do, guys. We really appreciate all the support that you guys continue to show us. We appreciate it all. And yeah, that's pretty much it for me.
All right. You can follow me at Corey Tulliba on Twitter, NBA Draft Dude on YouTube, NBA Draft Dude on TikTok. I'm posting TikToks all the time. So if you're on TikTok, head there. Make sure that you you stay locked in to the No Ceilings NBA Draft podcast feed. We have the double Tylers tomorrow. So stay tuned there. And then kicking back off on Monday, we have Nathan and Maxwell and Steven draft deeper. So the podcast feed is daily, y'all. So if this is your first episode watching or listening, rather, stay locked in because you're getting this content daily, audio content daily, video content daily, written content daily.
Mm-hmm.
We have the draft covered unlike any platform ever. So we appreciate all of your support and rocking with us because it wouldn't be possible without you guys. So until next time, we out. Peace.
Peace.